Eep. JK.
Yep.
We're talking Roswell today, the holy grail of UFO sightings, reportings, crashes, whatever. Roswell, I mean, everybody knows about Roswell, even people who have no interest in UFOs whatsoever. It evokes, you hear the town Roswell and it evokes immediately the image or the thought of UFOs. You were saying that wasn't always the case. Up until the 70s, the explanation for Roswell, that it was a weather balloon, it was 47, I believe. Is that right? 1947.
The Roswell crash, yeah, yeah. It was 47.
Okay. That up until the 70s, the weather balloon explanation was pretty much, it went away. The whole, you know, what was that?
Yeah, it was widely accepted.
It was widely accepted. So initially we had a report in the paper that said, that came from a military press officer saying, we have our hands on a disc. And then 24 hours later they came and said it was actually a weather balloon. And after that we've had, in those 30 years, we didn't really have people saying, no, I saw this, I saw that, I saw bodies, I saw blah, blah, blah. You're saying that, take me to the part where it became so huge within popular culture, not even popular culture, just throughout the, you know, the world, everybody knows about Roswell. Who uncovered it? Who brought it back to light? And how did they do that?
Well, in 1978, world-renowned ufologist Stanton Friedman, who's also a former nuclear physicist, reopened the case. Pretty much, the case exploded after he reopened it by interviewing certain witnesses. And what happened was, he got a hold of some interviews with people who were working at the base at the time and who had claimed to hold the medal. Jesse Marcel was one of them. And the story broke rather rapidly, and a series of books were published, and more witnesses came forth, and it just, you know, exponentially expanded from there.
So the witnesses never came forth before the book?
No, not really. There was...
And the book made a lot of money.
Yeah, it was a very popular book, yes.
Okay.
And he was not the only author. There's many other ufologists that published different books about Roswell. And actually, there was quite a divide between different stories from the 80s to the early 90s before the USAF report came out that gave their official explanation, the Mogul explanation. There was quite a divide between two different groups of ufologists on which actual story to believe. And, you know, they were all just coming up with their own series of postulates based on the available evidence. And there was, yeah, again, there was quite a divide. Some people said, well, we're just going to not look at this evidence and we're going to say this happened. And other groups said, no, well, this happened. And it was really just a series of arguments based upon theories themselves, based on eyewitness reports and hearsay evidence, but there was never any physical evidence brought forth that proved anything.
Okay.
And out of the total now, there's been a little over 400 witnesses that have come forth on the Roswell incident, and of those 400, only about 7 have actually been confirmed to have been at the base at the time and have actually stated that they physically saw or handled the object and or saw the beings, the alien beings. So
the object,
you know,
was debris? It wasn't a disc?
Yeah, yes, the debris, I'm sorry.
Okay. But did they say that it still had a basic shape of the disc, or it was completely just debris?
Well, yeah, there's two crash sites, and Roswell, the term Roswell crash is somewhat misleading because the object crashed actually south of Roswell in Corona, New Mexico. And it crashed right outside of a rancher, Mac Brazel. That's the rancher who discovered the debris initially, reportedly. And it crashed there, and a debris field was found, but it is also reported that there was another crash site where a pretty intact disc-shaped object was found, and that this disc-shaped object had actually carved a trench about 400 by 500 feet into the ground, and that was the spot where the alien bodies were recovered, and the disc was somewhat intact. It was by the most popular reports, it was roughly half of a disc. The rest was in the debris field, and the alien bodies were strewn out throughout the perimeter of the semi-intact craft, and apparently there was one that may or may not have still been alive at the time. And there's also reports of a secondary crash site of a totally different object on the plains of San Agustin in New Mexico, which, if I'm correct, is about 200 miles from the initial crash site, close to Roswell. And
so there are three sites all on the same day. Is that what you're saying?
That's all related, Jess, and that people believe were all happened at the same time, yes.
Okay. The one that was the first on the farmer's land was just debris. There was no... It was just that metallic of debris, which could have been that spy balloon thing they were talking about.
Yes, it absolutely could have been.
And then the second one recovered a half disc that created a trench and some bodies, allegedly. And then the third one...
One was reportedly a totally intact disc.
That had
crashed and had minimal damage, and reportedly at that crash site there was up to 12 bodies found.
And they're all dead?
Yes. From an internal fire inside the craft.
Okay. And so, that all happened on the one day?
Yes, and it appears that if you believe that theory, it appears that it was related, possibly a mid-air collision. That seems to make the most sense to me and to a lot of people. I mean, you have two craft, and obviously they appear to be related, so it appears that some type of mid-air collision did take place, possibly. So.
Mm-hmm. And so I think we need to dissect... It's all witness account at the end of the day. There is no, you know, piece of metal still in existence. There's no debris, nothing like that. And I think we need to separate separate the witness accounts to military / whistleblowers, to local civilians, and what they saw and what they were asked to do. There are over 100 witnesses to these three events, or 100 witnesses to one event. Tell me about the 100 witnesses. Are they all non-civilian, or is that including the military?
This includes military and civilian, and there's actually about a little over 400.
Over 400, okay. And it's for all three sites?
Yes, this includes all... the entire encompassing event of the incident.
Okay. And I understand that there was a mortician that was asked to create, was it five boxes?
I think it was four.
Okay. And yet we're saying that there was possibly 17 or 18 bodies recovered.
Well, yeah, the mortician account comes from the initial crash in the Corona area, very close to Roswell.
Mm-hmm.
And the secondary crash at the plains of San Agustin was a totally, even though it was related, this was handled differently. And the witnesses that came forth on this stated that those bodies in that craft were strictly handled by the military, taken to a base. The craft was sealed. The bodies were sealed and transported via cargo plane to possibly up to 3 different locations, with most theories ending that they ended up in Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio.
Which is where they had a major military base. And they had, yes. Was it the Blue Box, Blue Book, that was...
Project Blue Book's headquarters, yeah. Was...
And Project Blue Book was a... just give everybody a little tiny briefing on Project Blue Book.
Project Blue Book was the United States government investigation of the UFO phenomenon. And actually, it started out as Project Grudge, then turned to Project Sign, and then turned to Project Blue Book. They were all related. And the only thing that changed was the name. And it started roughly towards the end of 1947, and the Blue Book was officially closed down in January of 1970. They investigated about 7,000 cases, of which there's about 750 that have gone unexplained, with about 2,000 cases that ufologists dispute, including the 750. And that some of those cases definitely that Blue Book did say were explained were not explained.
Okay. So if we're saying that these bodies were and craft were shipped to a place that was put together before the crash to investigate UFO activity, is that right? So Project Blue Book was around
before Roswell? Project Blue Book was after Roswell.
After. Okay. All right. So that would still make sense, though, then, if they sent the supposed craft and bodies to that base, that then the further investigating would come out of that area as well. I think with Roswell, I mean, it kind of is there's just too much to get through. It's hard to separate, witnesses who kind of wanted to be part of the folklore to valid testimony regarding the alleged crash. If you've got over 400 people saying that they in some way saw, touched, were involved in this incident, there has to be something more tangible to me. I mean, that's a lot of people that that are claiming one thing or another. But out of that, we're saying that none of them have any further, souvenirs, if you like, of the metal that was discovered.
Mm-hmm.
You did mention there was a major that did take something home. Tell me a bit about him and his involvement as a whistleblower on the Roswell incident.
Jesse Marcel. He was the officer who actually was sent to Mac Braswell's ranch. to investigate the debris and to start the recovery of the debris. And he apparently, by his statements, took a piece or two home and turned the rest in, and apparently woke up his family at about 1 in the morning, his wife and his kid, Jesse Marcel Jr., and showed them a piece of debris, two pieces. One was a beam, like an I-beam type section, which had hieroglyphic type writing on it, and the other was a piece of tinfoil-like substance that whenever would be, if you imagine a flat piece of tinfoil and you crush it in your hand, it would go into a ball, but as soon as you release the pressure, it would go right back to its original shape. Those are the two pieces of physical evidence that Marcel reportedly witnessed and showed his family.
And he came out to say that he got that from which site? The first site? That was the possible...
Correct.
Okay, so that could have been a spy... Did people say that possibly the collision took place because of that spy?
That's actually a theory that the
what's it called? The project what?
That is a theory that that Project Mogul and the UFO had actually collided, and what was at the ranch was the Project Mogul debris, and what was found about 20 miles off of the ranch was the actual UFO. And, you know, that's possible. That's a theory put forth. There's also a theory put forth that if indeed two objects did crash, that they may have been brought down by radar systems in the area, because the 508th Bomb Squadron was at the area. That was the only bomb squadron that had nuclear weapons at the time at Roswell Army Air Base. And there was obviously a lot of bases around there as well, so there was a lot of radars. And that's the theory put forth, that for some reason the electromagnetic interference brought down the craft. Another theory put forth is lightning and so forth. But, yeah, those are the three main things.
Okay. What things can we discount from Roswell?
Well, I feel it's safe to discount... I think it's safe to discount the fact that out of... I feel it's safe to discount about 393 witnesses, because all that's hearsay. Now, I think they must be taken into consideration, but in the long run, I think you have to discount them and just use whatever evidence that you can get from people who actually reported to see the actual evidence and held it. You have to take that into consideration. I also think that you have to discount... You have to discount certain other witnesses who, even within those seven, that have later been found to be somewhat questionable. So, you know, in the long run...
Give me some more detail on the seven then. We've got seven people who you think are more credible because they were military. Is that right?
People who had reported to actually hold the evidence. Yes.
Okay. So take us through who you think can be discounted in that and why.
Well, I mean, I think that a major issue has been the mortician, the person who claimed to have received the order for the small childlike coffins.
Mm-hmm.
It has been found out that testimony cannot be totally taken at face value, because other contradictions have came up in the story. You also have the gentleman who, the name escapes me at the moment, who created the story about the nurse at Roswell who has supposedly told him that there was an autopsy being performed at the Roswell Army Air Base Medical Wing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was later discovered that she was non-existent. That uh-huh. there was never anyone by that name.
Okay.
So
that's a pretty big gap.
Yeah, that's pretty significant in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I'm sure many others.
And she's the only witness to a autopsy. Nobody else out of those seven.
Well, to an autopsy, yes, but there's others who claim that they'd seen alien beings in coffins, and there's a guard who had reported to had been stationed to guard the coffins at the time, the dead bodies. And another interesting piece is the mayor at the time of Roswell had reported that he had
Do you know, in those days, now we do body bags before coffins, did they have body bags in the late 40s?
You know, I have no idea.
That would be something that I'd look at, because I don't know why they would request a local mortician to create five coffins for 17 bodies, as opposed to...
Well, keep in mind that the 12 bodies that were reportedly recovered in the plains of San Augustine were not handled uh-huh. the same way as the...
that was all military.
Yes, that was all military, and also that was found about a day or two later, uh-huh. because... That was reportedly discovered by archaeologists who were in the area doing archaeology work,
uh-huh.
whatever they do, you know, looking for yeah. archaeological related things,
mm-hmm.
and reportedly ran into armed military officials, saw the craft, saw the bodies, and were told to turn around and don't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And those bodies were handled much differently. Those were handled direct by the military and shipped directly to another base.
Okay. So the seven witnesses are pretty much witnesses to crash site B.
Crash site A.
A, which could be the...
Which would be the one at the... the one outside of the ranch.
Okay. Which we think could be the Russian spy project. I keep forgetting. I should write it down. Sorry. What's it called? Project Mogul. Write that down. So if that could be Project Mogul, where that's the one that had civilian or, you know, people touching or whatever. And then, so crash site B, does that have any valid witnesses? Are any of the seven from the second site, or did the second site get treated the same as the third site by the military only?
Well, the second site has some witnesses as well, and the second site has actually less witnesses than the first, and they pretty much is all the information on the second site is simply that there was a craft that was much more intact than the other one, possibly up to 12 bodies, but I've heard as little as 6, and that the craft and the occupants were taken to a military base and transported to, more than likely, Wright-Patterson Airfield in Ohio.
Okay.
As far as reports of the similar type evidence as the memory metal or the hieroglyphics, that was stated, but there's the major part of Roswell is focused on the first crash site,
which had no bodies, and
no, that also included bodies.
It did. Oh my god.
That also reportedly included 4 to 5 alien bodies.
I thought that was Crash Site 2.
No, Crash Site 2 contained 6 to 12, possibly.
And Crash Site 3?
Okay, I think we're getting confused here. There's the debris field.
Yeah.
Okay, let's label that Crash Site 1.
Yeah.
Let's label Crash Site 2 the rest of the craft where the first 4 to 5 bodies were found about 20 miles north.
Yes, but the debris field, so one had the trench and then the third one had the 12 bodies.
Correct.
What about the first one with the debris field?
The first one was just strictly the debris field.
Okay, well, that's what I'm saying. There's no confusion then. I'm saying there was no bodies there.
Bodies, with just the debris.
Okay.
Which could actually, by witness accounts, could actually be Project Mogul.
I would say that's quite likely. But I don't know enough about it. But, I mean, common sense would tell me that that's what it is. And then the second site, that it was partly entrenched, half a craft, had some witness testimony that was non-military. And then part three, which was the 6 to 12 bodies, was completely military.
Besides the testimony from the archaeological expedition.
Besides that.
Yes.
Okay. Then we've got seven. We've got a whole lot of witnesses. We've got seven that are out of 400 that are remotely, we've touched it, or we've actually touched the debris or a body. And out of those seven, we've discovered that, well, the nurse actually didn't exist. There's some conjecture about the story regarding the mortician's request for 5 coffins.
There's questions there. There's questions with military base officers. There's questions all over the place, really. You have actually researchers of the Roswell incident that were later found out to be totally fraudulent.
Mm-hmm.
And this really hurt me.
I'm so shocked.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I said I'm really shocked. Engage your sarcasm detector. So, keep going. We've found fraudulent Roswell researchers who basically, what you're saying, made up witnesses' testimony to...
Made up some witness testimony, made up investigations, claimed that he had investigated something when he did not.
Yeah, who was this? Which investigator was this? So I know not to buy his book.
This was actually the investigator, Randall Dennis.
Okay, I'm going to be struck from the list. Naughty Randall. Who would be, in your opinion, then, a valid, thorough, honest investigator of Roswell? Is there one that stands out?
The best?
Yeah.
Probably Stanton Friedman.
Friedman, okay. And what from Friedman would you say is the most outstanding evidence that he presents that it did take place?
Well, I mean, it would probably have to be the it would have to be how he dug out witness testimony. Even though some of those witnesses have turned out to be very questionable.
Mm-hmm.
Besides that, he's also, I don't know if you've heard of the MJ-12 documents. He's also heavily investigated those, and those relate heavily to Roswell. Those came out in the 80s, and. I would have to say that.
Let's pretend I have read the MJ-12 documents, but some people may not have. Tell us a bit about those.
The MJ-12 documents are a series of documents that were placed in individuals' mailbox, and apparently were briefing documents to the incoming president at the time, President Eisenhower, and they referenced the Roswell crash and referenced the secondary crash site as well. The documents are still in dispute to this day, but in my opinion, the only dispute that's there on those documents is the date format, and that would be that the military date is different than civilian date time. Here in the United States, civilian date time is month, day,
yeah.
is month, day, year. Military
yeah.
is day, month, year.
Normal, like the rest of us.
Yeah, so...
so what is it on these documents? Is it civilian?
Well, it's civilian. It's United States civilian. It is...
Which says that it was done by a civilian.
Yes, but that has also been explained, in my opinion, adequately, because the person who would have typed the documents was a civilian and was not military. It would have been the individual who typed the documents for the president to see, whoever typed the briefing documents. And they were... they were civilians, so they wouldn't be using military date format at the time, more than likely. And also, the ink from the paper and so forth and the type of typewriter used is consistent with a typewriter at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not to say that it's impossible that these are forgeries, but it's interesting nonetheless.
Mm-hmm. And how did we get our hands on a document for the president?
I'm sorry, what?
How did we get our hands on a document that was designed for the president?
You know, it's not known. They were, like I said, dropped off apparently in someone, an investigator's mailbox, and,
Oh, right. Okay.
Well, you know,
Yeah, I don't know about that. Anyway, I personally won't place too much
on No, but it's definitely worthy of an investigation. You know, this is a major thing.
I just feel like so much of it is you have to spend your time chasing your tail, investigating things that are possibly made up, cockamamie, rubbish. The whole hoax thing, the whole people wanting to be involved in different parts of ufology, it just clouds the whole. It's so impossible to sift through potential fact to made-up nonsense.
It really is, Zaz. That's right. You know, And that's what makes ufology so difficult is this the sheer amount of garbage that comes through, or even if let's not even call it garbage, let's just call it information And you don't know what's true or what's not. And anyways, it doesn't matter because more than likely there's no way to prove if it's true or not. But yet some of these things are so enticing that you're almost made to waste time and effort researching them. I mean, you know, I told someone tonight actually on ATS in a post, you know, I would hate to think that we become so skeptical that we won't recognize something proof when it's right in front of us just because we, you know, if we just choose to disregard anything, I don't think that's a wise idea. I think it's smart to pick and choose what you want to research, and I think it is wise to take some chances on things. And I think the magic documents are a wise decision. I mean, it's just right now it is what it is, and other than that, the only thing to do is go scientific method with the UFO sightings and systematically deduce conclusions based on the available evidence, which is always lax, always slim, and mostly circumstantial eyewitness reports. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's just crazy because right now, currently, as of today, the 27th of September, 2009, it seems like the field of ufology has proven one thing, and that is that, yes, there is likely something going on in our skies unexplained. But that is it. You know, and that's very broad. It could be something from unknown natural phenomenon.
We haven't progressed past the actual term unidentified flying object.
No, correct.
It's those three words that are the only surety out of all of it. So on Roswell, then your conclusions are something happened.
My conclusions on Roswell are currently based on the available evidence that I'm about 50-50 on what happened. I think that it's possible that something as reported alien did happen, but I also think it's equally possible that the government is telling the truth and it was Project Mogul. And the only reason I don't give more credence to the official explanation is just because documents like the magic documents, and I do still give credence to some eyewitnesses and so forth. I just think more information is needed at Roswell, and I think it's very erroneous of people if they, as a lot of people do, automatically assume Roswell is an alien incident, mm-hmm. which there's no evidence of that. And actually, the more and more we research, and as you asked me earlier, thing Stanton Friedman did was get more public attention to this. Him and others that I really don't want to attempt to name right now because I don't remember them all, and I don't want to butcher the names or anything. So, but he really did bring attention to the case, and as attention's been brought to it, it seems that now what once did look initially in the late 70s, early 80s as a legitimate alien incident now appears that, you know, it's at this point it's a coin flip, and if I had to bet on something right now, I would say it was probably something mundane.
Mm-hmm. That's a big call, and it's kudos to you, I'd say, for you're going through the evidence, and you're not just providing evidence to back up a belief, which a lot of people do. So, JK, thanks. We're gonna leave that there, and we'll touch base again on the Dulce base shortly.
Okay.
Cheers, buddy.
Yeah.